Our linguist, Dr. Pam Monroe, she was working out of UCLA in the linguistic department. She's been working with us. And so over the years, we've been studying our language with her assistance, with her help, with her knowledge, her guidance. With the internet, people are putting up stuff in the internet. Someone had noticed that there were conflicting names of different plants in our area. So we spent, I think it was close to 8 months, going over these various lists and trying to combine them and seeing how they fit into our language, seeing what we had in our documentation, seeing what was close to our neighboring tribes. So for instance, the Cahuilla, Luiseno, and Serrano may have similar words to us in terms of maybe plant names or sometimes animal names. So if we have something in the Serrano language, we can make a very good attempt to figure out how it might have been in our Gabrielino Tongva language. Or if we have it in the Luiseno and then we have something, you know, similar that we have already had, we can figure out, okay, how would the Tongva be? Sometimes it's the difference between one letter. And we have our writing system, so that made a difference too, where we're taking these words that may have been written by whoever was writing it, and it's not written in our writing system, but it is the word that we use. So, you know, we just gave it our best shot, and we did add some words to our dictionary. We confirmed other words, and some words we just could not use. They were actually in another language and deemed as Gabrielino Tongva, but they weren't Tongva. And some of the plant names are maybe not what the plant name is, but it's something of like what it's like hummingbird sage. We don't know that that's what it's called in English, so we can make the name up in Tongva, but was that what our ancestors would have used? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. People say, oh, the language was lost. Okay, it's not like we lost, you know, our shoes or our brush, you know. It was never lost. It was taken away from us in a very destructive manner. And our belief in the consideration of our ancestors is that the more that we can speak in their language, the closer it brings us to that connection that we have with them, but also the remembrance of them and the remembrance of their work and the remembrance of how they interacted with the land. They didn't dominate it. They lived with it, and they helped it, and the land helped them. So when we call the names and the plants in the names in the language, it does so many things to strengthen a lot who we are as Tongva people on this land still, after all of the depredations that took place, who our ancestors were, what is our connection to them, how is this going to go forward in the future for our children, and how they will be able to be a part of this land and take care of it. And even for the wider community, for the, you know, what we would call the Kuyum, the guests, you know, how are they going to take care of this land that we all live on? You know, how are we going to join together to keep those things in the way that they were for centuries and centuries and centuries, you know, before it was changed? And that change has been in a very small amount of time when you think of it, you know, in terms of the landscape. So how do we go forward from here? You know, how do we educate people so that we are better able to live in harmony with the land and help the land do what it needs to do to give back to us? So this brings in also the idea of reciprocity. Our reciprocity as people to our land and to other people and to, you know, our neighbors around us. So the language has proven to be a huge stepping stone in bringing it back. It was silent. It was silent. It wasn't lost. It was silent. Thankfully, you know, we have something to go on, and, you know, we're building it, and it continues to, in a very dramatic way, settle in our hearts as Tongva people and really give us that insight to our ancestors' work here for time immemorial.